Okay, good morning, everybody. So, as we've done in the past, what we're going to do today is I'll pose two questions, and you let me know which question you'd like to speak about, and we'll do a halacha share on that question. We'll answer the question that you're most interested in over the course of the share. So here are the, and usually what I've done is in the past I give this same type of share on Thursday night, and I choose whichever question was not voted on the previous night as one of the two questions. So we're going to do that as well. One of the questions.
You want this recorded, Rabbi?
I have a recording. I have a recorder here, so it's okay. I'm recording it anyway. So one of the questions will be a question that that was not answered in last night's year, and I find very often that the one that was not answered in last night's year is one that does not get voted for in the morning share either, because for whatever reason people just aren't as interested in it. But anyway, here are the, I'm not going to reveal which one was from last night's share and which one is not. We're not going to bias the vote in any way. So here are the questions. Question number one. A woman swallowed a dental crown by accident. She was just eating, and then as she was eating, a crown came off of her tooth and just went right down together with her food. So they cost thousands of dollars, these dental crowns. She does not have dental insurance, and if she did, it would not cover the whole cost of the crown. So now she didn't know what to do, though. And normally, when a crown falls out, you could just cement it right back in. The dentist could cement it right back in. It's not dangerous if it's swallowed together with food, and it's likely just going to pass through her system in a matter of days. If she were to breathe it down and go into the lungs, then that would be very dangerous. But that is not the situation. So the woman went online to find out how to deal with the situation, and because that's what you do, you ask the internet. And the recommendation apparently is, according to the internet, to search through your bowel movements for several days until you find it, then to disinfect it and bring it back to the dentist. She was willing to do this to save thousands of dollars. The purpose of doing that is not only to retrieve the crown and not flush thousands of dollars down the toilet in a very literal sense, but also to give a person a peace of mind that she doesn't have this foreign object in her system. So that's what she was planning on doing. So the shaila was not whether you're allowed to do that. She assumed that there's no issur of doing that. The question is, can she do that on Shabbos? Meaning, if it doesn't come out before Shabbos, is she allowed to continue sifting into Shabbos? So that is shaila number one. Shaila number two is a shaila I got on Erev Yom Kippur. I just haven't discussed it publicly in a shir yet, but someone sent me this shaila on Erev Yom Kippur. Someone wished me a Gemar Chesima Tov and whatever, and I said, thank you very much. And he responded, oh, by the way, I have a question. He writes, I just walked into the house, and my older daughter, who is 22 years old, in an effort to fulfill a Shidduch Segula, is attempting to wash and bench seven times over Erev Yom Kippur. As such, she keeps washing, eating a kazayis, and benching in an unending cycle. I told her I thought this may be an issue of bracha levatala. She claims that because there's a purpose to this, i.e. the skula, it's not an issue. She claims this particular skula worked for a number of girls she knows. Who is right? Should she be washing and benching seven times on Erev Yom Kippur in order to fulfill this wonderful skula to be able to find a shidduch? So question number one is a little bit gross, but it's a halachic shayla nonetheless about sifting through your poop and on Shabbos. And question number two about doing the washing and benching seven times for the segula. So if you could take a vote in the chat, I see a lot of votes are coming in, and it is almost unanimous. Okay, almost unanimous. Only one person wants to talk about poop. Okay, I guess too early in the morning in Los Angeles to be talking about this stuff. So everyone wants to talk about the issue of the skula. Okay, so that's what we'll go with. That was actually the question that was not discussed last night. So that gives us so I'm grateful for the opportunity. So let's talk about that question. So in order to answer such a question, a couple of things need to be discussed. First of all, we need to know what a bracha sheina tzricha is, meaning how to qualify a bracha sheina tzricha, and whether this is a violation of bracha sheina tzricha, whether there's such an isser and this is a violation of that isser. Then we're going to need to figure out whether segulos in general are considered like a major toelos, whether it's a worthwhile thing to seek out. And as you might suspect, the answer may be that it depends on the segula and how reliable and what the source of the segula is. So that's also worthwhile looking through. So what's the source of this one? Where does this one come from? So let's go through first the sugya of bracha she'ena tzricha. The Gemara and the Halacha, it's clear in Gemara and Halacha that it's asur to be goreim a bracha she'ena tzricha, even if at the time that you're going to say the bracha, you now need to say the bracha, but you put yourself in a position where you are forcing yourself to need to say the bracha. You wouldn't have had to need to say the bracha. That's a violation of bracha she'ena tzricha. In the Lashon Chazal, bracha she'ena tzricha is a bracha levatala, but really they're two separate dinim. There's a din of bracha she'ena tzricha and a din of bracha levatala. I mean, bracha levatala would be, I make a bar priya eitz on an apple, and then I say another bar priya eitz, right? There's no reason, I'm already covered by the first bracha. Bracha she'ena tzricha would be, I have two apples, I say a bar priya eitz, and then I say a bar nefashos, and then I say a bar priya eitz on the second apple. Why did you do that? You should have just eaten both apples at one time. So you generated, by making a bracha achrona, you generated a new chiyuv for a bracha rishona unnecessarily. And that's a violation of bracha shein tzricha. Where does this come from, this iser bracha shein tzricha? So there's a Gemara in Yuma on Daf Ayin Amad Aleph. The Gemara discusses why the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur would read Ba'asar Shebechumash HaPikudim Bal Peh. The Mishnah says that he would read a passage Bal Peh and not from the Torah. So the Gemara says, V'naisi Achrina V'nikri. Why not bring another Sefer Torah and let him read from that? So Rav Huna bring Rav Shu'amar Mishum Pugamol Shel Rishon. No, we're worried that people are going to say, if they bring a second Sefer Torah, that there must have been a problem with the first Sefer Torah. V'reish Lakish Amar Mishum Bracha Shein Etzricha. That the issue is Bracha Shein Etzricha. So you see that the Kohen Gadol reading Bal Peh is a violation, that we allow the Kohen Gadol to read Bal Peh in violation of the normal iser of Dvarim Shebichsav Yatarashe La Omron Bal Peh. Normally you're not allowed to say Torah Shebichsav Bal Peh, but we allow that so that he won't have to make a bracha shein tzricha. He could have read it from the first sefer, and therefore he would have been putter from saying a new bracha. By taking out a second sefer, it generates a chiyu for a new bracha. We don't want him to do that, because that would be a bracha shein tzricha. And therefore we sooner allow him to read it bal peh in violation of the halacha of Dorm Shebichsav Yatarash Elomron bal peh, rather than to say a bracha shein tzricha. In the Tshuvas Mishkanos Yaakov in Archaim Simul Chav Ches and in the Nishmas Adam in Klal Hey Os Aleph, they say that it apparently seems from this Gemara that it's a machlokas amoraim whether there's an iser to be gorim or bracha shein etzricha. Because after all, the Gemara asks, why don't you just bring a second Sefer Torah? And the Gemara gave two answers. The first answer was, mishum pagam shel rishon. Why didn't that answer say bracha shein etzricha? Elamai, it must be bracha shein etzricha is not an issue according to that shita. And the second shita says bracha shein etzricha. So maybe it's a machlokas amoraim. And the Mishkanos Yaakov says that from the Rambam it seems that there's no iser bracha shein etzricha, because maybe the Rambam paskins, because the Rambam in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim paskins the reason that Rav Huna gave, not the reason that Reish Lakish gave. So therefore, maybe the Rambam holds that there's no iser whatsoever of bracha shein etzricha. However, the Mordechai in Maseches Megillah Ostav Shin Sadi Gimel says that it's not really a machlokas amoraim. You know, sometimes there's really more than one good answer to a question. And when different Amoraim give different answers, it's not because they're not giving different answers because they necessarily disagree with each other. They're just pointing out additional answers to the question. You know, that's the concept. Mara Marchada, Omara Marchada. Each one gave an answer that makes sense. Everyone's giving their own answer. In fact, the Mabit is Medayik from the Lashon of the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Brachos that there is an Isser called Bracha Sheina Tzricha. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tes Zayin that Kol Davar Shu Minag Aval Pi Sheminag Neviyimu, anything that's a minag, even if it's an old minag, it's a minag neviyim, could go netilas harava bishvi shalchag, like harava on Hoshana Rabbah, ve'in sarich lomar minag chachamim, and certainly if it's a minag chachamim from a later time, could go kriyas halal brashe chadashim, ubechol shalmoy shal pesach, like saying halal rosh chodesh, says the Rambam, ein mevarchen alav. No bracha on a minag. We have the practice that we do recite a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, but really, Meikar Adin, the Rambam says, you should not be reciting a bracha on a minag. How could you say about a minag, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav vitzivanu, it's only a minag. You shouldn't be able to recite such a bracha. In fact, Morenu Rav Shechter Shlita, when there's Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, he typically does not recite the bracha. He listens to the Chazan saying the bracha and answers Amen. And therefore, if there's a requirement for the bracha, he's Yotze through Shomea Ka'ona. And if there's no requirement for bracha, he's not saying a bracha levatala. So he'll just answer Amen to the bracha that the Chazan says, and then just go straight into the paragraph. Bechlal, you know, in general, it's difficult to understand why our practice is to answer Amen and then repeat the bracha. Meaning, normally, if someone says a bracha and you're listening and you're paying attention, all he has to do is have Kavana to be Motzi, and you answer Amen and you're Yotze. So even when we do have a requirement to say bracha and halal, it's not so clear why our practice seems to be to then have the whole tzibur repeat the bracha. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Shechter does not repeat the bracha. I think he just answers Amen and his Yotze with the bracha and then goes straight into the halal. But anyway, the Rambam says there's no bracha on halal and Rosh Chodesh. V'chein kol davar sheyistapik lachim tolen bracha yom lav osnos ablo bracha. Anything you're not sure whether it requires a bracha or not, do it without a bracha. And here he says, Uli olam yizar adam bebracha she'in etzricha, v'yarbe bebrachas hatzrichos. A person should be careful about a bracha she'in etzricha and do a lot of brachas hatzrichos. Because after all, David HaMelech said, b'chol yom avarchecha, that you should always be mevarich Hashem every day. But what do you see the Rambam says? Yizahir adam ibracha she'in etzricha. So the Rambam apparently does also hold that there's an isser of bracha she'in etzricha. But l'chora, it's not necessarily, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita points out that it's not necessarily a raya. Because the Rambam, when he uses the term bracha shein tzricha, but he most likely means bracha levatala. Because look at the context, meaning he's talking about something that simply does not require a bracha. To say a bracha when no bracha is required, that's not bracha shein tzricha, that's not what we call bracha shein tzricha, that's what we call bracha levatala. And not only that, you know, you could be medayik. Look at this. I've never seen this. Okay, so you could be medayik from the Rambam, perhaps the opposite because of what the Mabit suggests. Because the Rambam writes v'yarbe b'brachos hatzrichos. So the Rambam seems to say you should be mishtadel, go out of your way to say as many brachos as possible. So it must be that you're supposed to try to create extra brachos. But nevertheless, we certainly paskin that there is an isser called bracha shein tzricha. What exactly is the get? Of bracha shein etzricha, so you know it's not mistaver to say that it's a bracha levatala, because at the time that you're saying the bracha, you need to say the bracha, so it's not quite the same as a bracha levatala, and it also doesn't seem to be that from the Gemara that it's an isser to rabbanan and some sort of takana that they made, because the makar of the isser is from Chazal is explaining a Mishnah in Yuma. Sounds like it's a svara. Sounds like it's just logical Michel, and if Chazal were mechadish from Svara, so just like it would probably be a din d'oraisa, that just like, and the Svara is probably, Rav Asher Weiss points out, it's probably that just like it's asur min haTorah to be motzi shem shamayim levatala, so Chazal said in the context of a bracha, it's also asur to be motzi shem shamayim levatala. I mean, it's all part of the sense of kavod Hashem, that we don't just flippantly throw around the name of Hashem unnecessarily. We say the shame of Hashem with the greatest sense of yira, retes, zia, with a sense of trembling, with a sense of reverence to the Ribbono Shel Olam. My friend Rabbi Shai Shechter always tells me that when he was growing up, his father would always tell him, Moreno Rav Shechter would always say, that people always say that you know, the Maimon Har Sinai was in, with yira and retes and zeya, and his father would always say, it's not zeya, it's zia. Zeya means sweat. We weren't sweating at Har Sinai. We were trembling. It's a different word. So when a person says the Shem Hashem, a person should say the Shem Hashem with the proper attitude. And therefore, you have a number of makoros throughout Shas about the severity of Bracha Shem Tzricha. The Tosfos Yeshanim in Yuma Daf Ayin Amud Aleph says that if a person is shechting a lot of behemos or ofos together, so you know, if you ever visit, I don't know if anyone here ever visited a place where they shecht chickens. I know some of you did, because I took you on a trip. I remember, Evan, we had a field trip when I was teaching in high school to a chicken shechita place, and they in those the shochtim work so fast. They shecht like 1,000 chickens in an hour. So how many brachos do you say when you're shechting 1,000 chickens in an hour? So Tosfos Yeshanim writes, one. You say one bracha and try your best not to be mafsik between one shechita and the next, because if you're mafsik between one shechita and the next, that would be a bracha shein tzricha. In Hilchos Tefillin, Tosfos Menachos writes, you don't talk between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, because if you hold like those shitos, that it would only require one bracha, so by talking in between them, it would generate the need for a bracha shein tzricha. That's why you have the Rush writes in Maseches Chulin in the sixth parak that Mistaver de Kol Hecha Shiachal Liftar Asasim Bracha Achas Asru LeDaber K'tei Sheizakuk LeBracha Acheres K'demuchach Biyuma, that any time a person can get away with just saying one bracha, it's asr to be mafsik with dibur in order to generate a chiyuv for another bracha. So it happens all the time. Now, there are certain cases, though, where we say, you know what, there is a tzorech, there's a real need for it. And when there's a real need for it, you can say a bracha shein tzricha. Where do we ever say there's a real need for it, and therefore you're allowed to generate a bracha shein tzricha? So, for example, there is a machlokas rishonim, whether you're allowed to answer dvarm shebekedusha, like kaddish or kedusha, between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. The Rashba in the Tshuva in Chelekesim and Yud Gimel says that it's mutter, and it's not a bracha shein tzricha, because bracha shein tzricha is when there's no benefit. But over here you are benefiting, because you want to answer dvarm shebekedusha. So you see that shitas harashba is that you're allowed to do a bracha shein tzricha if there's some other benefit in generating the need for the bracha. And over here, to answer Dvarm Shabbatusha. And obviously, the Rush disagrees. The Rush in Chesvil Simet Hazvav says, even in such a case, and we paskin like the Rush, that you're not allowed to generate a Brachshein Tzricha, but you do have such a Shita in Rush, but that's a good enough reason to generate a Brachshein Tzricha. There's Machlokes Rishonim, if a person could split his Su'uda into two different Su'udos. Ooh, this is exactly our case. Splitting a Su'uda into two different Su'udos. But the Rishonim talk about a different case, a different situation, not because you want to fulfill a skula, but because you want to fulfill shalosh su'udos. A person has to have three meals on Shabbos. Tosfos in Shabbos writes that there are some people, in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, that will split their su'udos shachris, their main meal on Shabbos morning, they'll split it, they'll say, they'll bench in the middle, in order to be yotzei the chiyuv of su'udos shlishis. Let's say, you know, you live in a place where it gets dark very, very early, and it's winter time, and it gets, so it's, you don't have a very long Shabbos, I guess, in a very northern place. So Shabbos is going to be over in short order. How are you going to have time to have Shalashudis? So to split the meal in two. Tosfos says, no, don't do that, because it's a bracha shein tzricha. So Tosfos holds it's a bracha shein tzricha, but the Bahag holds that it's mutter to do that. That you're allowed, for the sake of fulfilling Shalosh Seudos, you're allowed to have a bracha shena tzricha. In Shulchan Aruch, he writes to be mekel, because if you don't split the Seuda, you're not going to have Shalosh Seudos unless you stuff yourself with an achila gasa, and that's also no good. There's also Machlokas Achronim. I see someone discuss this in the chat right now, whether you're allowed to be gorim brach shein tzricha to fulfill meya brachos. There's halacha that you have to have meya brachos b'chol yom. Ma Hashem elokecha shol meimach al tikre ma ele meya. Meya Hashem elokecha shol meimach. Hashem wants you to say 100 brachos every day. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where you don't have as many brachos in Shemona Esrei, in the Amidah, it's only 7 brachos in the Amidah, it's much harder to fulfill 100 brachos every day. Agav, you should realize Magen Avraham writes from the Arizal, not only are you supposed to say 100 brachas every day, you should answer 90 amens every day. So that's also kedai, probably, that a person should try to answer amen to other people's brachas. If you ever daven in a Sephardic shul, the practice is if someone comes and they put on their talis and tefillin, they say the bracha out loud, so everyone around them could answer amen. Because that's it's a wonderful thing to do, to answer amen to a bracha. Obviously, not if the person came late to davening, right? A person shouldn't come in the middle of Birch's Kriya Shema and make a bracha on his talis out loud, for everyone to hear. But if you come, 5 minutes before davening, like you should, probably, and say the bracha out loud, that would be a way to answer the amens. But there's machlokas rishonim. Can you say bracha shein tzricha? Can you generate a chiyuv of bracha shein tzricha in order to answer the amens? The Shlo HaKadosh says that you could put peros, leave some peros till after the Suda, so that you could say a bracha on them, even though on other days you would patter them with the bracha of Hamotzi, and you would eat those same peros during the Suda. Magen Avraham disagrees. But even l'shitaso, even according to the Magen Avraham, l'chadchila, you could tell people not to bring the peros until after the Suda, and then say extra brachos on the peros. So we do find that there is there are times where there is a need that some Rishonim at least will say that there's it's an, enough of a need that you wouldn't call it a bracha she'en a tzricha, because it becomes tzricha because you have these other needs. What about, so is this a big enough need? Is this skula a big enough need? So in general, with skulos, you also have to be a little bit cautious, because a lot of times these skulos that you find border on isurim of lo senachshu and lo sonenu, right? Nichush is something that happens to a person takes as a simin that he should or shouldn't do something, even though b'derech hateva, it makes no sense. So if, I push this button and I do this behavior, that means Hashem has to give me this thing or the other thing. So in general, one has to be wary of skulos and make sure that they have reasonably strong sources. So what is the source for this skula? So I inquired of the fellow, where did she get this from? To say, to wash and bench 7 times on Erev Yom Kippur? I never heard of such a thing. Where did she get this from? So the fellow sent me a shir from a very, very popular tzedekas, Rabbanit Yamima Mizrahi, who gives a lot of very popular women's shiurim. And Rabbanit Mizrahi, I assume there's a translation of what she said, said as follows. Listen to the moving words of Rav Yonis and Ipshitz. Lifnei Erev Yom Kippur misrabe marash chora ubechios bebatei Yisrael. Before Yom Kippur, before Erev Yom Kippur, people tend to be depressed. Ki asaton yesh lo shlita kol shin samich dalis yamim. Communion delay, that the Satan has control during 364 days out of the year, but on Yom Kippur the Satan has no, that's a Gemara, that on Yom Kippur the Satan has no control. So because the Satan knows that he's going to have to take a day off on Yom Kippur, so in Erev Yom Kippur he works extra hard. And the best way the Satan can get us is by getting us depressed. So he works very hard to get us depressed on Erev Yom Kippur. And therefore, it's so important. That's why Rabbi Yonasan Abshitz explains, Chazal say there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur to remove that sense of melancholy, that sense of sadness that the Satan's trying to cause. So therefore, that's Adkan Rabbi Yonasan Abshitz. So comes along Rabbanit Yamima Mizrahi, and she says, so eat as many meals as possible. 7 meals according to the Kabbalists. I don't know who the Kabbalists are, and I don't know where she got it from, but she says, I can't describe how many emails I got this year about that skula. If there's a skula about which I can say it works, it's this one. Whoever eats seven meals on the day before Yom Kippur may say as she eats them, this is to correspond to the Sheva Brachos I'll have this year. Ah, now we know where she got the number seven from, right? The number seven is meant to correspond to the idea of Sheva Brachos. And, oh, okay, so I'm eating seven meals, and that will be a skula to have Sheva Brachos. Many women did this and got married. It's a skula. You don't have to do it if you want to stay single, sei gesund. But every class at which I said this in the past week, people have raised their hands and said, Rabbanit, I did that and got married that year. I've never seen a skula for which I've gotten this much feedback and comments. It's real. If you're single and want to get married this year, if you're the mother of single girls and want them to get married this year, if you want your sister to get married and you won't use this skula, eat seven meals and have her in mind. Seven meals in Erev Yom Kippur. How should they be eaten? It means seven times Netilas Yadayim and Birchas Hamazon. There's no way around it. A suggestion. Take some bread with a little bit of spread or sandwich guts, such as tuna. That must be a mistranslation from the Hebrew, sandwich guts. I don't know what that means. So that such as tuna, just an olives volume, eat it and say birchas hamazon. And you can start the night before, you can start the previous evening with two or three meals, and the following day only have four more to do, including the final meal before the fast. Divide it up as you wish. Seven meals, seven brachos. By doing those seven meals properly, you fix all of the forbidden eating you've done, eating without a bracha or without kosher certification. Or she doesn't say this, but I might add, maybe fixing bracha shena tzricha, maybe not. You can fix all of the problems that you had. It fixes Adam's sin, which is forbidden eating. It's medicine for the evil inclination. Just trust me. Usudos elu misaknos yoser mitfilos. These meals fix more than the prayers do than tefilos do. So says the Mata Aron. So that's the argument that she makes, that it's so kedai, it's so worthwhile to do this because it's a great segula. Now, as a general comment, very often when people are, even people who are very, very righteous and are big tzaddikim v'tzidkanios, if they're not well versed in halacha and how the halachic system works, they come across sources and they don't necessarily have proper direction in interpreting them and how to put them into action. It doesn't call into question their tzidkus. They may be very, very righteous people, but probably could use a little bit of halachic guidance in terms of whether the suggestions that are being made are in fact viable suggestions and are worthwhile suggestions. So whether it's effective or not is irrelevant. That's not really our question. Meaning our question when it comes to the school is not how many people did it work for. You know, my daughter-in-law told me that a whole bunch of her friends in seminary did this, and it worked for some of them, it didn't work for others. You know, like, as you'd expect. You know, that if you have a group of, girls of that age, some of them got engaged that year, others did not get engaged that year. Okay, good. So that's exactly what you would expect to happen. So whether it works or not is not really the question. It's irrelevant whether it works or not. That's not the shaila. The shaila is whether it's mutter. The shaila is whether we're sacrificing a halacha. So look, if Rishonim were hesitant, and it's a machlokas Rishonim, mamish machlokas Rishonim, whether you're allowed to bench and wash again in order to fulfill Suda Shlishis. Suda Shlishis is a chiyuv. It's an absolute chiyuv for men and for women. People a lot of times don't realize that women are chayiv in shalashudas also. So I would say, you know what? You want a good segula to do all the mitzvahs of Hashem? Be makbid on shalashudas each and every week. That's the most important segula to fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem. But to come up with this idea where in order to fulfill the segula, you're going to do things that Rishonim didn't allow you to do to fulfill Shalashunis, that to me is like very, very difficult to justify. So again, it doesn't call into question the tzidkus of somebody. Someone could be a very, very great tzaddik and a very great tzaddikas, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's correct. Nor does it call into question the tzidkus of those who try these things when they hear the great tzaddikas talk about such things. It could be that an innocent person hears a tzaddikas saying something, so but just just because the tzaddikah said it sincerely and meant it, it doesn't mean that it's right. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily the correct thing to do. So I would suggest that we would avoid this gula, because it does seem to be a pretty blatant violation of bracha sheina tzricha if you're constantly washing and benching on any given day, even on Erev Yom Kippur, even though, of course, there is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, so that's the halacha section of today's shiur.